Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Let's go ahead and take a moment to pray. If you would, bow your heads with me. God, we just come to you today. And Lord, I just ask that as I speak today, I only speak the words that you give me, that I reveal the truth of your scripture, not what I wanted to say, but what you want to say with it, Lord. And God, I just ask that the people here, that they're open to receiving what you have to say, that you bless them with it. You let them find joy and love in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So what I wanted to talk about today was throughout the Bible, we see a story of people that God chooses to do certain things, right? We see David became king. We know about Elijah the prophet. We know about Moses. But I think a lot of times we just see these great deeds that they did, and then we don't realize that we were chosen for something too. And it's up to each one of us to actually find what that is and to carry it out. I think a lot of times what happens is I believe it's in Isaiah, is like he says, yeah, the people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're just doing what people have taught them to do. They don't actually have a relationship with God, one that where they're able to just talk to God, where God reveals himself to them. Instead, what they'll do is just like somebody like me just standing up here talking. They're like, that sounds good, I'll go with that. But a lot of times what happens with something like that, something that you don't carry out in your life, something that isn't personally revealed to you, as soon as you leave that door, you forget it. Now, there's things that in the Bible that we're supposed to do, right? You know, it's called commands, usually. There's also, you know, something that's supposed to be produced from our genuine faith, which is a lot of times it's referred to as fruit. It could be deeds. It could be like in Galatians 5:22-23 says this. And I'm sure we're all familiar with it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, what brings us to this is our relationship with God and what we know of God and actually our love towards Him. A big part of how we receive things is actually based upon the condition of our heart. So it's something we have to be very aware of. It's something that we need to, you know, look at ourselves. We can do that with the word. In James, it says that the Bible is a mirror. So it reveals to us what type of person we are, what kind of character we have, you know, what we're doing with our faith. If you look at the parable of the sower, it says in Luke 8, and it's verse 14, it says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked up by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. It is so important that whenever we come to church, that we are actually listening, we're studying. And, you know, as pastor says, you know, that we're independently dependent on God. You can see it with like, I think it's in the book of Acts where it talks about the Berean Jews, where they heard the gospel and they just didn't take God's word for it. They were excited about it. They heard it. They're like, wow, this is amazing. But then they looked back in the scriptures and they're like, is this true? So that's what we should all be doing. We shouldn't just be taking somebody's word for it. Because that can lead you astray very easily. There's a lot of people that will say, this is what it means. And if we don't look for ourselves, we'll just take that at face value and believe it, even though it might be leading us on a path to destruction. So we just can't, you know, when pastor's up here even, don't take his word for it. Actually study the scriptures for yourself to see if it is true. So as you can see in the scripture here, it says that there's going to be many people who will actually hear something. They're like, wow, that's amazing. That's great. I want that for myself. And what happens is maybe some kind of struggle comes in. There's bills you can't pay. Somebody's stricken with an illness that you think they're never going to recover from. Or else maybe it could be even something that's a good thing. Maybe you get a job, pays you a lot of money, maybe you come into inheritance, and it just completely changes the person you are because you forget about God. You don't need him anymore to provide for you, right? Because like those bills, they go away. And then pleasures of the world. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can take us away from God. We have freedom to do a lot, but not all of it is profitable for us, right? So, you know, pleasures could be like, you know, maybe watch too much TV, video games, sports. It just looks like as time goes on, our world just gets busier and busier and busier. And it's so easy to let stuff draw you away from what's actually important, which is God. And I think that there's this kind of like lie that the world tries to tell us that says, you know what? Following after God is boring. Doing anything for God is boring. But it's not. And I didn't truly know that until recently about how amazing it is if you follow after him, what he'll do. Like, I never expected myself to be on a stage talking to anybody, let alone, like, you know, discipling a group of youth. You know, I didn't think, I was like, you know, I didn't go to Bible college or seminary or anything like that. But you know what? God doesn't look for people like that. God looks for people who have a passion to serve him, a desire to serve him, people that actually love him. And it doesn't matter what kind of background you come from, he will use you for whatever purpose he's put before you. He's going to equip you. You don't have to worry about that. So if we look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, it says, "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." So it's something where, like, if we actually take this word in, it's very simple. If we just study the word, it says that it will make us fruitful. I mean, everything in the Bible is actually pretty simple. Some people may think it's complicated or anything like that, but as long as you believe on Jesus, he gives you the Holy Spirit who will enable you to understand everything in here. Amen. And it says that, you know, his words make the simple wise. No. It's not something that it's not an intelligence that comes like the world would see it. It's something from God. He empowers us in everything we do. And especially he doesn't want us to be somebody that doesn't have wisdom. Wisdom is something that we can gain from the Bible. In James, it says that anybody can ask for wisdom, he will give it to them. It's just we cannot doubt. So what I want to do is go to John chapter 15. This is verses 1 through 8. And I'm sure a lot of you know this, heard it. But let's go ahead and take a look at it. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples."
Amen.
Yes. If you look at it, there was a branch in the midst of them at that time that was going to be cut off and thrown into the fire. Does anybody know who that was? Judas, right. It was Judas. And, you know, it came to, as a surprise to his disciples that somebody was going to betray him. Do you remember that? Is it me, God? Is it me? Is it me? Nobody knew. And then it turned out to be Judas. So, you know, there's times where you could be with somebody who professes to be a Christian, and they're actually not truly a Christian. You can say all the right things, but, you know, what does your life actually show? It's important. And it's not, you know, we don't have to do anything to receive salvation other than believe on the name of Jesus, right? So the thing is that when we believe, he changes us. He takes out that heart of stone. He gives us the heart of flesh. I mean, if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, how is it God can be inside of us and not change us in any kind of way? So let's look at John 15, is verse 1 through 2. And it just says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. So this is Jesus speaking. He's the vine. God's the gardener. But if you look at verse 2 here, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be more fruitful. And, you know, like I was saying, I don't want anybody to be doubting their salvation, because that's terrible. Like I said, as long as you believe in Jesus, that's it. You're saved. But it does say that when we believe, that there's going to be fruit. So if you look at James, this could be chapter 2, verse 24 and 26, it says, he puts it this way, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And in here he's talking about like Rahab when he saved the spies. When she saved the spies, talks about how Abraham believed on God for actually having children, even though they're well past the years. I don't know if he's the best husband for saying his wife was well stricken in years, but I know it'd be much better than that. Yeah, I don't tell my wife, wow, you're huge. No. But you're not. That's why I don't tell you that. That's why I don't tell you. She's very petite for being pregnant. Oh, I'm in trouble. So, yeah. But then it says in 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And this is not me saying it. This is in scripture. This is the Bible, right? So we are expected to actually be somebody who does something, so has some kind of fruit. Like I said, it could be a change in our character. It could be whatever we do in our lives to help other people. But there needs to be something. So the other thing, too, is like me. Like I said, it wasn't until I wouldn't ever expect me to be up here. Okay, a few years ago, if I was looking at my life, because I was I've told you before, I was a Christian. I, you know, knew the word. I didn't serve in church. I probably didn't pray, read the Bible enough, you know, have that super strong relationship with God like I should. But, you know, here I am. I'm almost 40 now. And God decided to use me still. I was surprised by that. I'm like, what? You know, me? Yeah, me. Because, like I said before, he has a plan for each one of us. And it just takes us actually saying, God, yes, I will do what you've called me to do. Because he's going to equip us with whatever we need. And you know what? I would say that a lot of that time that I spent maybe just sitting in church, listening to somebody tell me the word, actually, not only from the scripture I heard, but being a person, like as my mom was able to say, that, you know what, I can't speak to somebody who's an addict. I can't speak to somebody who, you know, has gone through this type of situation. Well, I can speak to a lot of people that may just attend church, but not actually understand what it truly means to serve God. Because that's what we're really about, you know, should be about. It says we're all part of a body, right? Could you imagine if there's a part of your body that just didn't do anything? I mean, it's something where, you know, you can notice it's gone. You recognize it's gone. If everybody in the church was doing exactly what they needed to be doing, we wouldn't, need to ask for volunteers, because it's like we're just all firing on all cylinders. We're all doing exactly what God has called us to do. And, you know, I'm going to get to this in a little bit, but there's a very good reason for that. Very good reason. I do want to tell you that God is patient with everybody. You know, as long as you're still breathing, you still have a chance to make a change, to do whatever it is you've been called to do. Now, if you look at it like Luke 13, this is verses 6 through 9, says this. It's also based on fruit. It says, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, I'll cut it down. So we have Jesus who will intercede for us. We have somebody that says, you know, be patient with them. Because, Lord, they're actually going to do something. Just give them some more time, Lord. And I would say I'm living proof of that. If we look at 2 Peter verses 3 and 9, this was talking about the end times here. Are we in the last days? I read Hebrews, I think, 11, where it says, in these last days, which is referring to us in the present, it says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, like I said, he is patient. Now, let's go back to John 15, verse 2, or 1 and 2. All right. So it says there, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. Now, that's a tough one, right? He's like, I'm doing everything right. But pruning, I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's something that's too nice, too comfortable, right? You know, there was a time where I wasn't comfortable getting up on the stage, right? Where I would just like read the announcements, go off. But, you know, now you see me up here jumping like a crazy man, joking around. And, you know, I got that by one way of pruning is knowing your word. When it says in Galatians, it says, now who am I trying to... Oh, no. I forgot. Who? All right, I'll just paraphrase. No, wait. Who am I trying to please? God or man? Right. Oh, should I be worried if somebody doesn't like me? No. Okay. Doesn't mean I'm going to treat anybody in like some harsh, mean, angry way. It just means that, you know, I'm still going to treat you with love, but if you still don't like me, it doesn't matter, because, like, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, if I'm speaking what God's given me to speak, amen, that I'm going to please God every time. Every time. So, other ways that you can be pruned is by trials, people that teach you. Just like I said, reading the word, just studying it, not just reading it to like check off a box, but actually saying, you know, how is this applied in my life? That's very important. And then also prayer, worship, and serving. There's people that, you know, I've heard him say, he's like, well, you know what, God didn't do anything for me. And, you know, I just kind of think, it's like, well, what did you do for God? Because it's a thing where we have a relationship. Yeah, and we also have to, like, okay, God, I love you, so I'm going to serve you. It's not something where we just, I guess, get together as like a club or something. It's something where we are all coming here for a purpose. Like when pastor preaches, he's going to teach you. He's going to inspire you to do something. Talks about flow, right? Talks about how you can flow, what flow is about and all that, right? It's for a purpose. It's not just so we store up knowledge and never understand it. It's so that we use it, become wise, and we actually use it to change the world around us, change our lives, change the lives of others. So if we look at this in 2 Peter chapter 1, it's verses 3 to 8. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. So we already have everything we need. We saw that, right? Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us a very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we accept pruning, we're going to have this that is speaking of the scripture here. Now, I've seen people that have resisted pruning. There's been times where I resisted pruning. And it could be a very bad thing. I've seen people that God's trying to prune them, and they'll leave a church. Because it's much easier to go somewhere else than it is to actually deal with either if you have a problem, or maybe somebody's has a problem with you. It's much easier to go somewhere else than it is to deal with it. And I'm not saying that there isn't a reason to leave a church, because there's reasons. But a lot of times people leave for the wrong ones. Because we're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to get along with one another. It's one of the hardest things that we have to do, but it's something that we have to do. And when it comes to pruning, you know, I think people resist it, and maybe something's put in their life, some kind of roadblock, or maybe there's some kind of person, and because they don't want to like change or learn how to show love to somebody in a certain way that's like hard to love, that, you know, they'll just give up their ministry. And it's painful to see. Because I've had a lot of friends in here that they're just gone. I never heard from them again. And it's like, why did you go? And it's because they resisted pruning. God just wants to change us, to make us better. It's not something where He just wants to like, well, this is what you're going to be doing because I told you so. It's because He knows the plan He has for us, right? He's the guy that God created the universe, right? He orchestrates everything. So how is it that we have a God that knows all this and then we're going to say we know better, right? We don't. And when we prune, I mean, when we don't allow Him to prune, we're also saying that we'd rather, you know, keep our pride. But pride is a dangerous thing, because if we do something under our pride, what we're doing instead of actually doing something for God, what we're doing is saying, well, this is what I know, This is how I'm going to be successful with it. Look at what I did. Do we glorify God with that? No. A lot of times I'll tell you that kind of stuff is going to fail, right? Because there's many plans in a person's heart, but it's Lord's that will succeed. Always succeed. So, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, this is just after it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. In verse 24 and 26, this is just part of talking about how we deal with one another. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what is it saying that God's done for us already? All those passions and desires that we shouldn't have, it's been crucified with Christ, right? And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Yeah, this is one of the things where I had an issue, is where I was kind of envying some kind of job somebody had before. Because it was kind of like my dream to be a filmmaker. And, you know, I've seen other people, it's like, I looked at the videos and I'm like, what? You got chosen to do the job and me? It's like, I can do better than that, right? It's part of that being conceited part. It's that envying part. And it could destroy you. It could make you bitter. It could make you angry. And, you know, it just wasn't for me at the time. But doesn't mean it's not something that will come later. But I'll tell you that I don't feel like I'm missing anything, because I feel like I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Because I'm carrying out what God has planned for me. And it's so much better than the plans I had for myself. Because even if I would have become successful, rich, we see a lot of times where that doesn't really work out for people. They're completely ruined inside. They don't have love like they should. They feel lonely. You know, we see like a lot of people in the music industry that commit suicide, right? It's like, yeah, they got money, they got fame, tons of people around them, but do they really have love? Do they really have that hole in their heart filled in? No. It's because they're missing God. They're missing fulfilling their purpose, serving God. So the other thing too is we can't be provoking people. Like I said, if somebody doesn't like me, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go up to them and just be rude, abusive, aggressive with them. Instead, what I'm going to be doing is I'm just going to continue to treat them with love. Eventually, what's going to happen is either, you know, God will change them, or maybe they'll be removed from my life. But it doesn't matter what this other person is doing, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to fulfill God's purpose, despite whatever is around me. So let's go to John 15. This is, let's see here. In verse 3, I just want to point this out real quick. It says, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We're already clean through this, right? We're already clean through what Jesus has done on the cross for us, right? Don't think that there's still something in that's going to hold you back from being the person you're supposed to be. God has already cleansed you. You know, God isn't going to say, I will use you as soon as you start doing this, or as soon as you're this type of person or that type of person. God's going to change you. He's going to take you through a process. Okay? He's already done everything for you. It's just, you have to accept that. You have to mature in Him and your knowledge of Him. So let's go to John 15:5. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So like I was saying, so much of what the Bible has is so simple. It's just a matter of us knowing it. So how do we stay fruitful? Remain in Jesus, right? In the King James, it says, I think it says, abide in me. So just remain with God. And that's something we do through spending time with him. It's very simple, but it's something that can be hard to do. Like I said, you know, it's something that we're just drawn away by other passions, desires, other things of this world, rather than focusing on God himself. So if we also go outside of God's will, that's not really fruitfulness, right? Because God didn't want us to be doing that. It says that, you know, and I think it's in Matthew, the day of judgment, where it says that, you know, people will come to him and they'll knock and you just won't answer, right? So, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Did I cast out demons in your name? I mean, it sounds like very, you know, yeah, church things to do, right? But he also says, only those that do my Father's will have their place with me. So he told those people that said, you know, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? He told them, depart from me, I never knew you. So it's simple. Just remain in Jesus. You know how many times it says remain in just this paragraph? It's like 8 times. Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. So I think he's trying to make a point there. I don't know. So let's look at John 15, verses 7 and 8. It says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Skip the verse, but it says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So why does that work? Have you ever prayed and you didn't really get the answer? Sometimes that's because we didn't pray what God had willed for us. It's like, I mean, I could go to the extreme, like, God, give me a Ferrari. Right? Guy's not going to give me that. I mean, unless some crazy way that I'm not thinking of is going to fulfill God's will, then no, I'm not getting a Ferrari. Okay? But there are times where we may be praying for something, but we don't really realize we're praying for the wrong thing. You remember the time Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's just saying, you know, if there's any way you can pass this cup from me, please. But then what did he finish the prayer with? Lord, not my will, but yours be done. It's very important that we follow after God's will. And of course, you know, if we're fulfilling God's will, he's going to give us whatever we need to do that. It's simple. So it says, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. So imagine if we're showing the fruits of the Spirit to people that don't believe. Are they going to think that there's something that's different about this person, that we're set apart, that I want what he has? Yes, right? They're going to also see that, you know, that God is able to do what he says he's going to do. So it's going to be bringing glory to God. And that's what our life is supposed to be about. So let's look at John 15:9. And I'll tell you this, God isn't looking to just have rules to punish us. Like, well, didn't do it. Ha, now you get to, you know, drop the hammer on you. No. If you look, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So if you look at it, it's the reason why he wants us to follow his commands. You know, a big reason is because we have kind of like this flesh, right, still? That still tries to creep up from time to time. And we're supposed to be walking by the Spirit, but sometimes We're listening to the flesh instead. Do you remember the thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, where's Caleb? Do you remember?
What is it?
Spirit.
The spirit wants what's contrary to the flesh, and the flesh wants what's contrary to the spirit. So, yeah.
So do you hear that? The flesh wants what's contrary to the spirit, and the spirit wants what's contrary to the flesh. Yeah. We got this battle going on, right? So, you know, God isn't just, like I said, he's not a tyrant. He's not an authoritarian. He just gives us commands. So as you saw, it said in there to complete our joy. So our joy would be complete. It's to be joyful, right? Now, most people tell you that you follow rules for other reasons. Like, oh, this is how you get into heaven. No, it's so that you can be joyful. Now, a lot of people will tell you, like, I don't know, volunteer in serving God. You know, set up tables or, you know, be the person that does the sound or clicks things or greets at the door, cleans the bathrooms. I don't know how there's joy in that. But I'll tell you that there is. It's a crazy thing. But you may not recognize it when you first start doing it. You may not realize it. But as you continue in it, you will actually start to feel that, to you know, just be joyful in it. You know, I have an uncle, and he had a really rough upbringing. And, you know, he told me, he's like, oh, yeah, I love cleaning toilets. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, because it just reminded me. It's like, you know, God has saved me from so much that I'm able to serve him. It's amazing. You know, we need to come to a place where we're like, I'm doing this because I love God. And I know that God loves me. Not because, well, that's what the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do. No, it's about a relationship. It's about something more than just following rules. Because that's just a, you know, a religion. It's something where we're just doing something step by step by step for a result, and it's not that. God loves us. He wants to spend time with us. In fact, if you look at this in Matthew chapter 22, and this is verses 36 through 40, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And notice that doesn't say love other Christians as yourself. It talks about neighbor, just the people around you. Doesn't mean the person, just the person next door, everybody around you. And it says, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So really, with all these commands that God has given us, is really just to train us how to love. If we go back to John 15, verses 12 and 17, just like he says, remain a lot in that one chapter, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Okay, and then in 17, "This is my command, love each other." Just five verses later. See, everything that we're doing, it's just a matter of God teaching us how to love people in the proper way. That's it. If we treat people with love, there's no way we're going to be sinning, right? I mean, we're not going to be robbing people. We're not going to be murdering people. We're going to look at people with compassion. We're going to be people who help people, feed people, clothe people, house people. There's a lot we'll do if we're acting out in the love that God has taught us. And it's all in his word. So, we all have to find that thing in our life that we're supposed to be doing for God. And it's something where he's probably not going to tell you where you're going to end up. He's probably not going to tell you even where you're going to be in just a few years. But we need to be continually seeking out what it is that God has for us. Because I tell you, once you start walking in that, there's going to be this peace. There's going to be the joy that I was speaking about in chapter 15 of John, that it's just going to be complete, like it says in there. And there's so much in the world that'll tell you that's not the case. This is how you become happy. They'll tell you something else. But really what it is just following after God, learning how to love people, and then actually doing it. Not just saying it, but actually carrying it out with your actions. So one of the ways that we remain in Christ is to just actually spend time with him. So I know that some of you may have planned something after this. But I want everybody to realize that we should just love worshiping God. We should love praying to God. We should love just spending time with him. And actually maybe sacrificing just that little bit of what we find as comfortable just to find a new thing, which is a greater joy, a deeper joy. So I've asked the worship team just to play a couple songs and just ask that you can worship, you can just sit there and pray. I didn't ask about this before, but prayer team, would you just come up on the sides here? And if anybody wants prayer, pray for people. But I just want everybody to take a moment and just stay here and just, like it says, remain in me. Just spend time with God. And then, you know, when you leave this place, just to be more aware of the time you're spending with God, to spend more time. Because I will promise you that if you do it, that there's going to be a joy in your life that if you hadn't been doing it before, that you will find. So before we worship, let's just pray. God, I just ask that, Lord, as we leave today, that you help this word that you've given us to remain with us, that we find that complete joy that you've told us about, Lord. And I ask that you just bless our work, you equip us, and you just help us to find a way to love you more deeply than we ever have before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.